We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Champion Fulton, recognized as a standout talent in the realm of jazz, was deeply immersed in Oklahoma's vibrant jazz environment from an early age, drawing inspiration from her father, the renowned jazz trumpeter, Stephen Fulton. And on The Spark today, Champion delves into her forthcoming tour, 18th studio album, and her roots in Oklahoma's dynamic jazz community. Champion is championed as one of the most exceptional jazz musicians of her era, and I can't wait for her to share her story with us today on The Spark. So, Champion, you are from Oklahoma, and I'm going to show my ignorance here because I'm from Pennsylvania and showing my East Coast bias here. But, you know, you typically don't hear about a music scene coming out of Oklahoma. So what childhood experiences shaped your early music development in Oklahoma?
So thank you very much for asking. I am from Oklahoma. I'm from Norman, Oklahoma, which makes me a Sooner if you guys are a college football fan.
Yes, we are.
I'm a Sooner. And, you know, historically, Oklahoma had a very vibrant, like, music and jazz scene. But I would say in recent years, it might seem like it doesn't. However, the people of Oklahoma love live music. And growing up there, I had so many opportunities to perform and work on my music and learn to be a musician. My father plays trumpet and flugelhorn, and we had a little family band.
Wow.
From about the time I was 12. And by the time I was 14, we were working 3 to 4 gigs a week, every week. There in, you know, mostly in Oklahoma City. Norman's very close to Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a steady gig at this cigar lounge / jazz club. We played a ton of regional festivals. I got my start actually working in Borders Books and Music. I don't know if you remember Borders.
Yes, I do.
And they used to have a little cafe. I mean, maybe I haven't seen a Borders in a long time, but they used to have a cafe. And in that cafe, they would typically do like music Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And we used to do that all the time. So I really worked a lot when I was living in Oklahoma.
Well, I'll tell you this. Our Borders did not have that cafe situation, did not have that music situation at all. So I'm a little jealous here because your Borders were definitely better than ours. Now, you mentioned your father. So how has his influence influence you with your passion for jazz?
Well, I think, you know, it's actually a complete influence, because I think without my father, I can't imagine, you know, that I would have turned out the way I did. He's a jazz musician, and I always heard jazz in the house. And of course, I met a lot of his jazz musician friends, which were people like Clark Terry and Major Holly, a lot of very famous legendary jazz players. And they were always having so much fun. And I just loved the music, and I loved the community spirit and like the friendliness of it. And I so wanted to do it. I so wanted to be a jazz musician from the time I was really like 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
It was just my dream. And I fell in love with it completely, and I'm totally still in love with it.
Now, you you mentioned a name, Clark Terry. Now you did something at a very young age at one of his birthday parties. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So Clark Terry was my father. They were really like best friends, and so I met him when I was 2 weeks old. And I grew up with him sort of in my mind. It was like he was like my grandfather, because he was you know, always coming around, and he would send little letters from the road, or little, you know, he would bring gifts from the road. And so he was really like a part of the family. And when he was turning 75 years old, I was turning 10 that year. And he was having a big birthday party. Of course, he had many birthday parties that year for 75. But he asked me, at that time, I had a little band of children. We were all under the age of 12. And he asked me if I would be one of the bands at this party.
Oh.
Because he was really encouraging. And I think he thought it was really kind of fun and a little bit different that I was so interested in being a jazz musician, because I'm like a 10-year-old girl. You know?
Yeah.
And he hired me. I mean, he paid me. It was a gig. It was like a real gig. You know, we had a sound check we had to set up, and then we played the songs he wanted us to play. And we played, that was, that would have been in 1995.
Oh, wow. Talk about positive affirmation. What did that do to your mental health? Like I'm sure that kind of like put that battery in your back.
It really did. It made me feel good, you know, because I was working really hard at the time, you know, practicing and rehearsing with my band, and it did. It was just really fun to finally get to play a real gig, you know, and you feel like you're a real jazz musician, and you know, like you're really part of the scene. And I think that's really important, because I think the music is all about the community. So that really made me feel like a member of the community, and that was, as you said, very positive affirmation.
Yeah, and I mean, that is quite the origin story. You know, 10 years old, playing at Clark Terry's 75th birthday party. Like that's the debut that you would want as a jazz musician. who are some notable jazz legends that you performed with, preferably in New York?
Well, I've had a really wonderful, many wonderful experiences getting to play with a lot of my heroes. I'll tell you, when I was in college, I graduated from college, and when you graduate from a music conservatory, you often do a recital, like a senior recital.
Mm-hmm.
And that year, I had been studying the music of Horace Silver all year. I was really obsessed with Horace Silver, and I wanted to do all the music of Horace Silver on this recital. And I wanted to get a great drummer to play that music, because it's all about rhythm, and I just thought it would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so really flattered and maybe blessed, really, that Lewis Hayes agreed to play my senior recital. And I didn't think he would, but I remember the night I ran into him in the city at one of his gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling him about my recital, and you know, he knew I was all obsessed with Horace Silver, because I was always talking about Horace Silver. And I said, "Oh, Lewis, you know, like, I'd really love for you to play the recital with me. Do you think you would do that?" And he just looked at me, and he has a catchphrase that he uses when he says yes. And he said, "Melody," which means, you know, yes. And so we had a wonderful time. We had rehearsal. We did the show. And that was just really a great experience.
Again, another positive affirmation. Now, with these positive deposits here, as an artist, what does that do for you? Because now you've had two really iconic situations here. Does that, you know, carry you into your professional life now?
Absolutely, yeah. Because I think, you know, of course, when you're an artist and a musician, you have bad times, you have tough times. You know, there can be a lot of rejection. It can be very challenging struggle, and I think when you have moments like that, you really have to hold on to them and cherish them and protect them, because they're the things that continue to carry you through, you know, the tough times. And I would say that those moments are so great. They were so much fun, and they really made me feel so good that I still get a lot of joy, I think, reflecting on them.
And then you also pursued a recording career as well. Can you give us the details on that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I've always really been interested in making records, because I think they're difficult, you know, to go into the studio and make a record. It's different than performing. And so I always wanted to do it often, because then it's like you're getting better at it. I released my first record in, I think it was in 2006 or 2007. And my 18th album is coming out in May of this year.
Wow. Wow. So
It's a lot.
So your first album, you said, was when again? 2007?
I remember that we recorded it in 2006, but the release date, I think, was in 2007.
Oh, man. And then your 18th is coming out in 2024.
Exactly.
Champion, you are cooking with gas, as I like to say. that is a grind. So can you describe your recording style and how it has grown from your first album to your 18th?
Well, I think, you know, I have a lot of different types of records. Of course, I am always me. Like, I always play piano and sing, and it focuses, you know, I love music that swings, so it's always swinging. I mean, it always should be swinging. But I have a lot of different varieties. That first record was actually a big band record, so that's with a full 18-piece big band, a large ensemble. Then I've done quite a few trio records, which is how most people see me perform these days, which is just myself and bass and drums. I have quartet records with my father. I have several quintet records with two horns. And then I have a few duo recordings where I just play with one other instrument. And the 18th record is a totally different project, actually, the one that's coming out in May, because I thought it was time for me to do something I've always wanted to do, which is sort of explore more my piano side and accompany other vocalists. So on my new record coming out, I'm actually accompanying other vocalists, and I'm sort of the pianist and the musical director.
Our guest today is Champion, who is a jazz musician that hails from Oklahoma. And Champion is giving us the game, what I like to say, on everything jazz and her upbringing. Now, as promised, I did say that I have a question about your album, After Dark. So can you tell us your album, After Dark? What was the inspiration behind the album, and who were the featured musicians?
So After Dark was really and is one of my favorite records I made. That record, I believe, came out in 2017 or 2016. And it is inspired by, and it is a tribute to, my favorite vocalist, who is Dinah Washington. And so all the tunes, I believe every song on there, she recorded some, and quite a few Fats Waller songs, because she has a wonderful album of Fats Waller music. And the musicians on that album are, my father is on trumpet and flugelhorn, Stephen Fulton. And the rhythm section is really a dream rhythm section. It's David Williams on bass and Lewis Nash on drums. And that was the only record I made with that band, with that rhythm section. And it's really one of my favorite records, just because the material was so much fun to work on and the guys sound so good.
Now, do you ever find a moment where you're just chilling out and you're like, you know what, let me pop in After Dark and get these good vibes?
Well, I don't really listen to my own records, but I will say when I go visit my parents, they like to listen to my records. So sometimes I get to hear my records when I'm home, you know, and they have a really nice, like, big sound system. And so I was home last week, actually, and I got to hear some of my records, and I was like, yeah, wow, that's a good record. So it is nice. It is actually nice to revisit them, but I don't play them at home. But yes.
Well, I will say this. I'm a father, so I know that your dad has it on surround sound. It's like, that's my daughter. Anytime that that he can. So you also had a collaboration with Scott Hamilton on The Things We Did Last Summer. So can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah. So Scott is a really good friend of mine. He plays tenor saxophone. We oddly enough share the same birthday, which is September 12th. And we met in Spain. I mean, I was a big fan of his for a long time, but we met on tour in Spain, and we made that record, The Things We Did Last Summer, actually the day we met. And it was so much fun. I love his music. I think we play really well together. And we actually have toured many times, but we made a second record together on my label which came out in 2020.
Wow.
Called Birdsong. Mm-hmm. And that was a tribute to Charlie Parker. And I think Scott sounds so good on both records. And it's always really wonderful to play with him. I just did two concerts with him in Italy a few weeks ago.
Now, Birdsong, again, glad you brought that up. That received some critical acclaim, right?
Yeah, that was a wonderful, I mean, it's really one of my favorite records because, again, like the material that we picked for that record is so good. And the band sounds so great. It was wonderful to have Scott as sort of like a guest artist. And then it came out in August of 2020. So like in the middle of the pandemic, which is very weird. But because I couldn't tour, you know, I couldn't promote and I couldn't perform live. But the record was received really well. And I did a ton of like Zoom interviews for stations, you know, all around the world. And Birdsong and After Dark, I think, are my two most popular albums.
Mm. Now, can you discuss your contribution to the jazz scene in Barcelona and the impact it had on you?
Oh, you know, so I love traveling. I go to Europe. I've been going to Europe more than 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And I go usually sometimes, you know, 6, 7, 8 times a year. And I met Scott in Spain. I love Spain. I love Barcelona. It is a wonderful city full of wonderful people. I've played there many times, most often at the Jazz Club Jamboree, which is a historic jazz club in Europe. I think it's been open since 1955, which is quite a long time. Wow. That's pretty recent after the war. And it's just the vibe of Spain is like relaxed and swinging, and it's wonderful. So I always love to go there and play.
So how has your consistent output of recordings, because we're talking about 18 here, how has this contributed to your reputation as a consistent jazz musician?
Well, I think at first people thought I was a little crazy because releasing a record every year, or in some cases I've released more than one a year, is a little bit unusual these days.
Mm-hmm.
Because people more release singles, as I'm sure you know, on Spotify and things like that. And I just like to do full albums because I like to do it. And I like to make CDs, which a lot of people sort of proclaim that the compact disc is – you know, past its prime. But I love a CD, and I make them and I sell them. And if it's retro, it's retro. I don't know. But I think after so many years and coming up on 18 releases, I think people have started to accept that maybe I'm crazy, but they like it. So,
isn't this crazy that CDs are now looked at as retro? Like, I remember when CDs, I'm about to show my age here, America, but I remember when CDs first came out and we made the transition from the tapes and everything, and CDs were going to be this brand new thing. And now they're a relic, which is just funny to me. So for yourself, you mentioned COVID, and each guest that comes up here before we start talking about your current stuff, I always go back to the COVID times and how, as an artist, did you navigate that space? Did you find yourself performing on Zoom or just not performing at all during that time?
So it really, it was crazy. It was a crazy time for everyone. For me, it was really difficult because I love traveling and I love performing and I don't super love being, quote unquote, at home. And at that time I was living on the Upper East Side of Manhattan and, I immediately, like within a couple, maybe within 10 days or 2 weeks, I started doing these Sunday concerts on Facebook and YouTube. And we would perform every Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. It was called Live from Lockdown. And, you know, it was so great. Like, I don't think I would have survived the pandemic without that because it gave me something to do every week, something to look forward to every week. And then I had a lot of people, like, logging on. And I developed a lot of really nice friendships and relationships with the people who would tune into the show. And we did it for 54 weeks consecutively. And because I was doing it, I got asked to do a lot of other concerts by other people who were presenting, digital concerts. So like I performed, I mean, quote unquote, I performed at these new venues in Canada that I had never been to. I did private parties for people who wanted like live music during their dinner at home. It
Oh,
was
wow.
a wild and different, and it was wonderful in that way. And then we would also perform outside a few times. We played like in Jersey, there were some venues that opened up in their parking lot. And we would go play in the parking lot. And it was just, I was just looking for any opportunity to share my music with people.
And now bringing it current, what are you doing now, and how are you sharing your music with the masses?
Well, I just got back from Europe. I was in Italy for 2 weeks. I was in Scandinavia for 2 weeks. And I'm just performing live all over. I'm traveling quite a bit this weekend, which is kind of the International Jazz Day weekend. I'm playing a concert in New York City. I'm playing a concert out in the Hamptons on Long Island. And then, of course, I'm coming to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, this Sunday. And this month I'm all over, like I'm going to Chicago. I'm going to Hilton Head, South Carolina. We're going to Tennessee. So I'm back out on the road, I would say, all the time.
Oh, so now being back out on the road, your 18th release on the horizon. What does the future look like for Champion Fulton?
Well, I love what I do so much that I would like the future to just be more of what I do. Like I would just love to keep traveling. I would love to visit new places. I would love to just keep making records. I have an idea for my, we're coming up since I have 18, the 18th record is coming out. I can sort of see the 20th record coming out, even though I have to make the 19th record first, but I have sort of a plan for, because I feel like 20 is big. So I have this plan for something totally different for number 20. And I'm just, looking forward to keep doing what I'm doing, keep making music and meeting people. That's what I love to do.
Well, for number 20, please keep us at the Spark on your radar so that we can bring you on and discuss that as well. Champion, this has been fantastic. I mean, I could talk this with you for another 30 minutes, but unfortunately, we have to go right now. I will say this, you have gained a fan in me, and I cannot wait for your future projects. So thank you for joining me on the Spark today.
Thank you so much. See you soon.